Following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
All right, it's Thursday. I know it's a Wednesday night, but it's going to be a Thursday night on a regular basis. And this is Real Racing USA live from the Hall of Fame Cafe at East Bay Raceway Park. And are they getting ready for the Winter Nationals or what?
This old lady has got a facelift, Bill.
Man,
you walk around this place, man, the
ain't
paint
nothing,
jobs.
Ain't nothing not been painted, I don't believe.
I don't believe so. Even the grass out there has been painted.
They got a brand new, everybody knows East Bay Raceway Park in pictures by the backstretch sign that always says East Bay Raceway. They have changed that once again, and it looks awesome. I love this one. The arrow last year was pretty cool, but this year it's really neat. They got palm trees and all kinds of neat stuff on the wall. Hopefully it's going to show up and really help people identify with the racetrack. Plus, they did buy into the media because they put at the bottom corner, EastBayRacewayPark.com.
And, another generation of Real Racing USA back on the airwaves. I am Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green. They're back.
Jack Smith. Hey, you know what's funny? There's already people, a ton of people listening on the Internet.
How many?
I never knew why anybody would listen to us. But, and we've got in with us.
Hi, guys. It's C.C. Brooks. I'm crashing your party.
From?
I'm from Inside Florida Racing.
Because, see, we got a whole different group of people that listen to us.
And for those of you below the Sarasota County line, she's from Kicks Country.
Kicks Country 92.9. That is correct.
Okay, well, give us how that works. Give us the good one. Give us the good one.
Come on, give it to us.
People love it. Come on, C.C., do it.
Kicks Country 92.9 with today's hot country and your all-time favorites. I'm C.C. Brooks.
All right. Six people just dropped off.
Thank you guys. Oh, I'm so glad I drove up.
Can you play
anyway,
Conway
Jack, this is kind of a dry run for us, you know, coming back on the air, Real Racing USA, live here at the Hall of Fame Cafe, like Bill said.
It's a cool dry. Oh, Jack just kicked something out. We're
Jack
dead.
Jack unplugged everything we
help,
had.
Help.
Okay, we're back.
Jack, but, are you okay?
Jack, don't move
he
around
tripped
so
over something.
I know you had three cups of coffee already, but don't.
The production room is really small.
But, you know, they're redoing the Hall of Fame Cafe here. We don't have food yet. Next race, next show, we will. Everything will be set up and ready to go.
I just want the heat on. I can't feel my feet.
It's 64 degrees in here, and it's about 38 outside.
Wow.
We could be doing this
really,
outside.
It's nippy. We really want to thank you folks for coming here.
Very much so.
Yeah.
We have
thank
a live
so
audience, ladies
this
and gentlemen.
This is a great live audience.
Knock over
Neither
my coffee.
They're not really here.
Okay, some ground rules here at Real Racing USA. This radio show compared to
wait a minute.
Real Racing USA Live. What, Jack? What?
This is live. This
live.
Is live.
Yeah, we got to first off, we got to talk a little bit about the economy. Everybody's on the
No. There's three things that this radio show is not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about the economy. We're not going to help people save their racetrack because that's up to them. And we don't care whether kids race. They can race if they want. Those are the three rules.
You know,
everything else we can talk about.
I am disappointed because we've got so many jokesters online that the forum has yet to say Obama to save racing. I just felt somebody would do it.
I thought for sure I'd feel something in my pocket yesterday, but it just didn't happen. Anyway, Jack, we've already kicked off our 2009 season. We went up to Citrus County last Saturday night, and it was a chilly night.
To you say, guys love cold nights
to
up
To say
north.
The least. Yeah, but Mike Reed set us up there. We had a booth up there, and it wasn't too bad till we got down to the winner's circle.
Yeah,
and
catering.
We had Winger taking pictures for us, and the poor guy was frozen solid.
And we're going to talk
to... He froze the hair right off his head.
And we're going to talk to Bob Wing and also Mike Horn, another photographer who's been around forever here in Florida Racing. We're going to talk to them in a little bit. But Bob was out there freezing. I don't know how you did it, because Rick and I both made the comment, if we hadn't have been in that little mini tower VIP thing with Mike Reed, the owner of the Speedway, during the race, we wouldn't have made it. There's no way.
It wasn't happening.
And the fans, to see that many fans out at a racetrack in Florida, I mean, it's one thing. People up north are used to the cold. We're not. And to see that many people out there was pretty amazing, huh?
Well, I can tell you one thing now. These guys with the new digital cameras, it's not as hard on the equipment as it used to be. When you used to have film in them suckers, you watched out for cold weather.
Jack's camera didn't work.
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't.
It didn't like the cold.
No. Yeah, you know, we're talking about 2009 that we've already started the racing season. But you know what? A lot happened in 2008, Bill. Especially in the asphalt world, the demise of the super late model traveling series or series, inter-track series, like the Sun Belt and the
All-American
Challenge.
Every time somebody
Challenge
says
series.
Late models are dying, super late models are dying, they're dying, they're dying, somebody tries another.
I thought we weren't talking about that.
No, we're not going to save them.
We're not going to
save
them.
We're not going to save them. No, they killed
if them. Tony Soprano wants to kill another racetrack, he can.
Well,
yeah, you can call him Tony Soprano if you want.
I did. Yeah,
that was close, Jack. You almost let it go. But I don't understand. Super late models are the most expensive class to run, short of maybe sprint cars. I guess they could get pretty expensive. We'll ask Steven later.
Asphalt.
But, yeah, any of them, asphalt or dirt, they're still comparably, you know, those are the two most expensive classes in the
house.
Track.
Stalkers.
Stalkers here.
Wannabe.
Hey, Phil.
Anyway, the trick is that those are the most expensive classes at any track to run.
No doubt.
To physically have a car on the track, it's going to cost you the most, whether it's tires, gas, fuel, a new carburetor, headers, whatever you got to buy for that track. So that's a little bit of the problem with the, I can't say the word, economy. So, I mean, those are part of the problems. They keep going through waves of stuff because people come up with ideas. Crate motors are going to save them. Well,
you can say economy if you
want,
but they died before
series.
The economy took the nose dive. So it was going before last year.
Rick and Bill, last year, CeCe, at the beginning of last year, nobody would have predicted. I mean, there was a couple of things. We knew that, like, say, for instance, you could have predicted that DeSoto was going to have a rough year, DeSoto Speedway, Super Speedway. We knew that was going to probably be a rough year for them. But nobody could really predicted what was really going to happen during the year. I mean, who would have thunk? No, I'm saying, thunk? That
yes, I remember that very well. That happened on my show.
Yes, you did. But who would have thought that a guy named Ken Kenny, that like this many people in the state of Florida really knew, other than people who have been
amazing.
Around a
long amazing.
Would
he
have
doesn't
done
have
what
a
he did.
Chance. It won't work.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, who would have thought that
would
have been?
There's a lot of doomsayers, but that series just exploded. It, you know, the people love it. The drivers love it. The fans love
it. Mike Bresnahan, one of the things that stands out in my mind during the year was seeing Mike Bresnahan sitting at Ocala in a lawn chair with his two kids about an hour before time to go race, sitting there like he didn't have a care in the world, you know, having come over from asphalt to dirt. And he was just, it was amazing. See, I went over and talked to him. He was just having the time of his life, totally relaxed, no stress, and enjoying racing for the first time in a long time. And that was pretty cool.
And it was great, and I enjoyed going to the races and working with Ken and, you know, and hanging out with a lot of the drivers in that series. And it was a great time when we had them run on asphalt down at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and the fans loved it. And I think it just drew more fans that are going to follow the race through the dirt tracks through 09.
Pretty impressive because a lot of – you did it again, Jack. Your foot moved. We have a lot of those drivers that are looking forward to doing that again, even if it's not a points race and stuff. They enjoyed that accident.
It was fun, and it was the quickest race I've ever announced. I'm telling you why. Green to checkers in no time.
I've been incredible.
You know, and I just think that, you know, we just really have to, you know, congratulate Ken and just really acknowledge that, you know, he had the vision, he had his dream, and he put himself into it 110%. And he made it happen, and it was very successful. And so it just shows it can be done if you have the right motivation and if the right person who's out there motivating the people around them.
And at the end of 2008, we were walking around the pits at the Ocala Speedway interviewing drivers who were asphalt racers who had been racing there for a long time. And we were interviewing these guys, and there were some who, I mean, usually people it was funny because there were so many of those guys, they wanted to talk about it. And there was some that were, there was quite a few who didn't want to have anything to do with this dirt deal. And what Mike Peters did to have the kahunas to do what he did and turn that place and take that gamble and turn it back to dirt just turned out to be a huge, huge success story for not only for him, but for racing in general in the state.
I'm surprised others haven't followed suit coming this year. I figured it's his success through this year.
They do tend to do that.
As other people have to be thinking, hey, well, maybe I should do that.
Also, what I think has been really interesting is seeing how a lot of drivers who are hardcore asphalt drivers are now really seriously considering or already in the plans converting their vehicles over to now race at the dirt track closest to them. So you see the guy making the move from asphalt to dirt.
Ken Kenny's 5 minutes is up.
Yeah, which is, well, it's a good thing because it puts up, it does, no, it's a good thing because it does put, the more dirt racing becomes like front and center and becomes more predominant in the forefront of race fans and the media and so forth and so on, the more the asphalt tracks have to step up to the plate to get their gaming gear.
Exactly.
And that's good for the whole thing. You know, that's a good thing.
Well, that'll be the trick in 2009, I believe. If you don't survive 2009, it's because you did not come up with something new or different to make things work.
Yeah, he was hedging there. Go ahead.
I know.
Go ahead.
The one other thing we need to talk about is because of the end of the year, each year they have this big race for the trucks called the Charity Truckers 200, and we don't get to cover that as well as we'd really like to. We did it that day and actually put out the word and called the race, but we didn't get a chance to talk about the win. Stephen Darvox is with us tonight. We'll get a chance to sit down and talk to him, hopefully, and find out what it was like to win that race, because it must have been pretty cool.
Well, we talk about Ken Kenny and all the great things that he's done with the dirt stuff. I'm going to tell you what, Rick Bristol is probably the hardest-working promoter in
asphalt
racing. For
one race a year, buddy, he's pumping.
I'm telling you. Now, Jack, didn't you say that Rick's got a couple other things planned this year?
He's looking at doing some things with Bronson, at Bronson, leasing the track for a few events.
There's a guy to run a racetrack.
He'd be a good one.
He's done it all. He's done the announcing.
I heard there's
he's
another
promoted.
Guy back in town,
he's,
too.
He's done all kinds of things.
Rick there Day was a Rick Day sighting.
Rick Day sighting.
There he goes. Rick Day. Yay.
There's a lot of people who don't know who Rick Day is.
I know. Rick. Yeah. Rick's a cool guy. We love Rick. Rick's a really nice. He'll show up at the Winter Nationals. I'm sure he's back in town to help with those and stuff. But
probably one of the saddest things in 2008 was when we lost USA International Speedway, though.
Woo!
I mean,
you can go on MapQuest now and do the aerial view, and they've taken new photos. It looks naked. It's just the asphalt.
Remember,
and nothing else.
When we drove by the back gate,
and you can see nothing was there.
There was nothing there.
There's a lone pole standing where the elevator used to be that took you up to the third floor and stuff.
The place has been gutted. I mean, but that's, that is just sad. That's just...
And
it'll be hard to ever replace a place
news,
like that.
To add bad news on top of bad news that we lost USA, the plans to make it into a storage facility have been stopped.
Well, I heard environmental problems.
Because of environmental problems.
Is that, really true? Is that really true?
Yes.
Yeah.
They stopped the county, Polk County, would not let them do what they wanted to do unless they cleaned up the mess that is the old little track in the middle and all the stuff and dirt.
Has there been any media, like the real media out there in the real world, have they commented any of those?
A brief blurb about they went to court trying to get...
What, Lakeland Ledger?
Yeah, they were trying to get a permission to go ahead and start building and clean that area up without building on top of it as they built so they could get to working on it, and they said no.
Yeah,
because it's
from the old racetrack. Though,
yeah,
the old,
from the old little track, yeah. And the pits you see where the building used to sit, and the backstretch was the backstretch grandstands. Well, where you drive in and enter the track, right in that corner is where the old pits used to be, up against the trees, and that's the worst part of the area. Apparently, is that area.
And
Mike Horn,
Hendry County.
Wow.
What about Hendry County, Jack?
It's dead. It's alive. It's dead. It's alive.
Yeah.
How many times?
That's
can
the most revived racetrack I've ever seen.
And it has moved. That track has physically moved, I've been told, three times.
Yeah,
the
there's a lot of fertilizer on the ground down in that area, man.
Wow.
It just keeps popping right back up.
I heard there's a lot of other things in the ground down there. But
yeah.
Well, I'm really excited about the future of that track.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be outstanding.
I got to be. I love it.
And I think it is going to, with all the new additions and the revamping that is going to be set for that track and the promotion and marketing that is planned for it, I think it's really going to draw a lot of new race fans. I think you're going to see a lot of race fans when they take a look at what the ticket price is and how easy a drive it is from, you know, DeSoto, Sarasota, Charlotte County. You're going to have
Miami.
You know,
it's got to be
new
half
drivers
who
are going to, you know, come over there and check it out, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good, dirty family fun.
Well, I can tell you this: I've talked at a length with Terry Wall, who's doing most of the marketing and media stuff for them, trying to get the word out and sell signs and so forth. And he said that it has been amazing, the response from the community talking about the racetrack and what they want, you know, what they're looking forward to being back involved and keeping it going. The county commissioners have been awesome about, we want to help you all we can, what can we do? But yet the county commission kind of held its line at making sure that they upgraded the older facility portions that needed to be to hold more people. That being mainly the sewage system has to be upgraded to codes And so that's going to be the only stumbling block and toe thump to get done.
All right, we're going to take a very short break here for a moment. But I do want to point out that, like, tonight on this show, Real Racing USA Live, we'll be talking a lot about Florida racing. But this show, as we did it before,
yeah, it's about everything.
We cover racing and not just stock car racing. We've talked to some people from, I mean, every part and parcel of motorsports, the fastest men on earth.
Well, we also want to thank East Bay Raceway Park.
Yeah,
they kind of came along and said, well, listen, we've got this great place, the Hall of Fame Cafe. We'd love for you to do a show there. And we were kind of hesitant about, well, we don't want to do just dirt shows all the time. And they went, no, that's not an issue. You bring them from wherever and bring them in and do a show, and we'll, you know, be the facility that you're at. We'd love to have the people over. Hopefully the Thursday nights when they're practicing, people will come by and visit with us while we're here live.
But on our shows, typically, I mean, we've had Scotty Cannon, and we've had the fastest boat, those guys in those drag boats. I mean,
Grand Prix
boat racing, big-time stuff like that, and the best guys in the country, and those are the kind of people we'll have.
I thought drag racers were bad. But
on this show, as well as a mixture of local.
But a boat racer spends 8 hours at the track and runs twice for about 7.5 seconds. I ain't figured that out yet. What's going on? Anyway,
a lot
of beer drinking time. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hello?
Welcome back to Real Racing USA Live from East Bay Raceway Park in Tampa.
All right, now we get a chance to talk to a couple of guys who really get it done on the weekend. They have the most hazardous job on the track everywhere they go, put themselves in harm's way, idiots, and then they try to sell their wares from getting themselves almost killed. Rick Warren and Bob Wing. How you guys
Rick
doing?
Warren?
No.
I'm getting a hard time. Mike Warren.
Bill, did you take your medication today?
No, I did not. I'm way past, brother. I'm way past. That was 6 o'clock. That was supposed to be taken. I didn't bring it. Anyway, what's it like, guys? Talk to us about...
Get fired.
You know, well, sometimes it happens. Go first. Yeah, you can go first. What's it like?
You have to talk into the microphone.
What's it like
to talk into the microphone?
Yeah, even if ask me a question,
All right, Mike. I remember... Let's start here. I remember when I first met you... We were talking, and you came over to my house one time. It was about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. We sat and talked in the afternoon, and you told me a story of how you got really hooked on this thing, and you got a little bit of a bonus from NASCAR along the way. Tell us how that all started.
I really can't remember how that all started, to be honest with you.
Just put it up there.
It took a lot of nights of going to the racetrack for free before I finally figured out somebody would actually pay me to do that. And that was the fun part, but I worked in NASCAR for a lot of years and left NASCAR in 2000 and went with the Hooters Pro Cup Series as their photographer. And that was a lot of fun. And budget cuts came down. Guess who's the first guy to go? The photographer. So, and then they turned around and hired me as a tech inspector. So, worked out pretty good.
Hand gestures don't work in radio.
Okay, over to you, Bob. Oh, thanks, Bob.
Well, hey, wait, real quick. You want to know something scary? He sounds like Don Lerone.
Well,
let's do that. Show us, Bob. Show us this.
Try it. Go ahead.
Well?
No, not him. Mike sounds like Don Lerone.
You guys, quit
Jack's
making fun of
people. Not paying attention as usual.
Bob, how'd you get into it, and where do you work on a regular basis now? Let people know, because not everybody out there knows who you are, even.
I mean, nobody knows who I am, except maybe by my screen. I'm on farms, but I grew up around racing since I was like 6 weeks old. I guess my first race was a NASCAR race, the Junior Johnson one up in Fonda, New York. And I just grew up around that. And I started doing photography as a hobby some years ago. And when I moved to Florida, I started going to tracks here, and I just started doing a little track photography, mainly at Ocala. I'm not the track photographer there, but I have a deal where they let me shoot.
Did it help to become a photographer that you knew you'd get in the tracks free?
It makes a big, huge difference, yeah.
Except
that I always had to pay it at Ocala. I didn't get in free. Matter of fact, I had to pay the pit fee, so it actually cost me money there.
They owe you a couple of $1,000, probably.
Well, I spent a bunch there, and I tried selling some pictures to cover my expenses. So at least I got to see some races and be part of it.
Well, we always talk. A lot of people don't realize, most race fans, people in the grandstands, even people that work at racetracks, they don't really know what you guys see. And most people don't realize what you guys see. You have a perspective on a stock car track like nobody else has. And, Mike, I know you know that intimately. Tell us about that and how you see what's happening on the track.
It takes a long time to figure out what's going on. You see guys beating and banging, and you watch for them. And sometimes it almost feels like you got a bullseye on your chest. I've ran from so many drivers that didn't even know me, but they were trying to run over me, I felt like. So you got to keep one eye open. You learn to shoot with one eye open and one eye on the cars. Because somebody will come in behind you. I remember years ago up at South Boston Speedway, before they put any walls in, we were constantly being chased by race cars. And we're stupid, you know, so we go right out there as far as we can get. I mean, there's always a competition among the photographers to see who can get closest to the racetrack. Because you're always shooting around each other, and it's you really got to pay attention. You need eyes on all four sides of your head.
Yeah, what's your closest call?
Ricky Craven took the back of my camera bag off at Orange County Speedway in North Carolina in the early
That's
90s.
Pretty damn close.
He back in those days, there was no inside wall at Orange County, and the fire and rescue would go out and put fire extinguishers in the turns, and that was as far as you could go. And after 20 laps, the fire extinguisher knocked over, and we were out by the racetrack. So they had a big wreck going into one in the bush race. And somebody grabbed me and moved me, and I turned around and looked, and Ricky Craven came right behind me and took part of my camera bag with me. That was the closest one. You could smell him.
The race car or you?
Me. You could smell me after that.
I started to say, maybe Ricky came out of one and went, oh, shit, and then did it.
I'll tell you, Rick, you remember this. We were up in the tower here at East Bay a few years ago during the Winter Nationals, and our friend Bill Hunt, I think you know Bill.
Yes, I do.
Bill was out on the track, and, of course, we were always telling Bill, keep your eyes, don't ever turn your back on them cars. He was down in turn one, and he had just made the turn. The cars come by him, the main group, and he had just turned to face that way, you know, mm-hmm. towards turn two, and an axle came off of a street stock or something, whatever he was shooting. It came off, the wheel started bouncing. And he was oblivious to this. And we're up in the tower watching him. And this is a good, really, really close friend of mine. And we're watching this. And it was when the tire finally came down, it landed maybe 3 feet from him.
It looked a lot closer than that.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. And he learned that lesson, never.
Well, he actually did because he said, well, I didn't see it. It didn't bother me.
He didn't see it.
Until we showed him the video.
When
tape.
He saw the video, then he realized.
We went to the videotape.
And then he said, holy crap.
Yeah, he said, damn.
So often the action is all up front, but you don't want to turn your back. It seems like you get in trouble with those last few people in the back of the pack, the squirrels sometimes.
Like, what's the most dangerous racetrack you've worked at as a photographer?
It would have to be Winchester Speedway in Winchester, Indiana. I was shooting on the back stretch at a Hooters race a few years ago, and one of the cars came out of two. The back stretch is about 6 or 8 feet higher than the actual racetrack, so I was standing on the hill thinking everything's good and I'm all safe. And he came out of two and popped a right rear, and it threw him right down at the bottom of the track, jumped up on the berm backwards, and was headed straight towards me. And there was a photographer behind me that shot the whole deal, and I never really realized. In fact, I almost hung my vest on the back bumper when he went by. And things get real big in the lens real quick. And Winchester is one of the worst places in the world to try to shoot at. There's no inside walls there. And St. Augustine, the old St. Augustine track was that way.
Were those guardrail tracks back then? Where they had the guardrail on the outside?
Yeah.
Because I've been told guardrail tracks in the old days used to spit them back at you because you bounce off that guardrail.
Yeah, they'd shoot them right back to the infield, and then you take off running. But see, they always told me, go to where the car is because it won't be there when you get there.
Well, you know Jim Jones. I mean, he stands out there.
He's crazy.
Thank you. Who I was going to ask you, that was the lead into.
I know
who
Jim
is
well.
The guy who lost his backpack. Jim Jones.
Who is the craziest photographer you ever seen?
Probably Jim.
Yeah, he's
really
up there, isn't
realistically probably him because I've shot New Smyrna before and he's always standing outside.
Yeah, he's
going,
he's very trusting. And Jim's the one that told me, he says, well, the bigger classes, late models and sprint cars, no problem. They're going so fast and they're turning this way. If they break momentum, centrifugal force is going to take them outside first. I got a chance to go hit the wall, then come back. I got a chance to start moving. It's those street stocks and the mini stocks that'll kick your butt.
Yeah, they'll all hurt you.
He's been doing it for 30 years now, just about, I guess, 30 years as the fast car photographer at New Smyrna. But you guys, like, I mean, a lot of times you don't realize, I don't think you guys sometimes realize how important a cog you are in this media machine because the pictures, you guys are writing stories with pictures. And like Bob, you guys both have done work with Karnak and Real Racing USA and whatnot. And there's literally thousands of people, not just here in Florida, but all over the country, come and look at your pictures, and it's a big thing. It helps promote this sport in a big way.
And both of you have managed to get really lucky with some shots. It looks like to me that like the car's completely off the ground or flipping. Or
absolutely, that's
it's skill, right?
Skill, yeah.
He's starting to roll. Push the button down and hold it.
Yeah. Well, we were called bottom feeders at one time by the print media, and. In the big time, when I was in NASCAR, the print media normally doesn't get along with the photographers. For some reason or another, they think they're much better than us, which they probably are, but we don't like to think that way. And they gave us the nickname of being bottom feeders because all we ever wanted to do was shoot wrecks. But
now, you know. Now, somebody once reported just recently on Sirius Radio, the most looked at and web-checked photograph of NASCAR is the fight in the infield at Daytona.
Absolutely. That's what people come for.
Yarborough and Allison?
Yeah. It's like the most, even now, they say it still gets thousands of, hundreds of thousands of hits a year, people looking back at it or looking at it and showing somebody else, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, I actually saw that race live. I was standing on the infield on the top of my car. Needless to say, the top was pretty well destroyed, but, man, we had a ball watching that.
Looked like a good race to be watching. Hopefully you've got some good races coming this year and stuff. What's it like to be a photographer now with digital cameras and things moving so fast? People can take a camera phone and go click and get a shot that you may have missed and so forth. I mean, how tough is it?
It's much easier now with digital and the autofocus. And you don't have to worry about focusing. The autofocus will do most of that. And you can just hold the button down and run backwards at the same time, which I've done, and hope you get the shot.
I tell you, cool. you don't waste near as much money with digital as you did with film.
Got that right.
I was one of the hardcore guys. I was one of the last guys throwing film canisters down in this infield. So, and when I went to digital, it was amazing the difference of between print and digital. Digital, you know exactly what you got right when you do it.
Yeah, not only that, though, I can see that. I remember our buddy Bobby Day, 5x5 Bobby, he had gazillions of pictures because you had to make them all come out and look at them and then go, oh, well, that's crap.
He used to do that at the track, though.
He'd do it in the back of his van.
Before there was computers.
Yeah, that guy's my hero. Patterned a lot of my stuff after him.
He was awesome. Well, we hope to see you guys around the state of Florida throughout the year and stuff. And
I'll tell you this. Mike Horn's going to be here at East Bay working with Carnac.com, Real Racing USA, and Bob will be at here East Bay a little bit, I think. Ocala at the 29th, 30th, 31st. Where else are you going to be?
Plan on the figure eight race at Auburndale, one of those.
World Figure Eights.
World Figure Eight Championships
right.
at Auburndale.
Where are you going to stand to watch that?
There's nowhere to stand.
I've been thinking about that. I haven't been to
Auburndale
yet.
Under the flag stand.
Okay. Well, there's nowhere to stand over there, believe me. I used to race over there back in the 70s.
There's nowhere to stand over there.
That's one of the first tracks I worked at. You can stand on the hills under the pole, but you still got to run around the pole.
I'll tell you, there is a good place. You know, there's a little tower over there on the back straight next to them grandstands. That's a good place. That's a good place.
Oh, yeah, you only have to take a gear or something that comes off a car or wheel and a head out there.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on Real Racing USA Live.
Thanks, guys.
And we will be back after
about a big hand? Short
message.
Your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig Speed Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig Speed Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, yummy.
Look and taste it.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickle Pig Speed Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, welcome back to Real Racing USA Live right here at the Hall of Fame Cafe at East Bay Raceway Park. Don't forget, coming up, best of the best. We're going to announce the winners right here on Real Racing USA Live. Bill, we got another guest at the table.
Man.
Go ahead and introduce him.
Man, well, I'm trying to remember exactly when I met him the first time, but I know he was really, really young, way back. And Stephen's been racing around here for a while, but he is the champion of this year's Charity Truckers 200. Stephen Darvalik's coming in with us. Stephen, how much fun was that race? I know it was long, but was that cool?
It was a really good race. I've never raced in a race so long before. racing the sprint, you know, just short little dashes and
trade, please.
What's
trade mice?
Yeah,
that
trade
one's
mice. That one's
again.
Breaking up or something. She can hold it.
Breaking
still.
Breaking up.
Got to hold the bottom still. Go ahead. Keep going.
Go ahead, Steve.
But with pit stops, it made it real interesting, and we had teammates there, so we could share off each other's information, and we actually had three trucks there. It was a great race.
It was a great race. I really enjoyed it. That was my first time at a charity trucker race and my first time at Orlando Speed World. And I had a good time. There was a little bit of misty rain during the race, but I don't think that really caused much of a problem for you.
We really liked the rain. We just took the lead and it started raining, so we wanted it to rain a little bit more.
Now, since that time and winning that race, so that race is one of the few races that I believe a lot of people around the United States pay attention to through the media of Carnet.com and Real Racing USA. So people look to see who won because it's a great charity event, a lot of money raised for good cause. Have you heard any more feedback from that compared to other races because you won that one?
Not really. Oh, a little bit. I guess it gave me the driver of the month for December. I mean, it helped me out in that running, and it's been.
You were driver of the month?
Yep.
I'm teasing. I know.
Come on, Bill.
He's done a great job. Now, tell everybody, though, you've raced several different classes. When did you start?
I started when I was 14. We raced a go-kart at Dirt Devil Speedway.
Okay. Yeah, but your first on-track competition in bigger cars came in?
Probably when I was just turned 16. We used to race down at Okeechobee in a limited sprint car. And we raced there weekly for a while.
You're one of those guys. Went straight from go-karts to sprint cars. I ain't figured that out.
Yep.
But anyway, Dad had more brains than money, apparently, back then. But the cool thing is, though, you've done open-wheel modifieds, you've done sprint cars, you've done several other kinds of racing, and then the truck. So you've won in a lot of those.
Yeah, I did. I just tested an open-wheel one night at DeSoto, and we were in the sprint car on the pavement, on the dirt, running the truck now at DeSoto weekly, and we decided we really wanted to race that big race, so we hit that. And
how many race-ready vehicles you got at home or in the garage or barn, wherever?
I'm working on a little champ cart. I want to get into running that at DeSoto. Looks like a lot of fun. Talladega.
Those guys really get around DeSoto. Yeah. I mean, it's like they're running Daytona. They draft.
You got to draft.
Five, six in the draft. They pull out. You lose half a track distance on them.
And the fans really love to watch them race because the fact is it's so intense, and you got the drafting. So besides wanting to race that series in 09, are you be racing your truck more?
We're going to run the truck, and I'm having Clay Ziegler build a limited sprint motor for this new series. That's why I wanted it.
Hello,
Jack.
There you go, Jack.
Hello, Jack.
Okay, we're back. Go ahead.
I had read on the Internet there was going to be a lot of talk about that here tonight. I wanted to come check it out, and I'm anxious to get back in a sprint car. It's been a while.
We are hoping that Todd or one of them dropped by, but they're still out cleaning stuff up.
Clay is building your motor, huh?
Yep.
So now
he builds our truck motors, too.
Clay's become one of the top racing engines.
At least three wins, about six top fives.
Right.
Nothing. If you can keep it one piece and not get tore up.
I guess they're having a limited series at Auburndale, too, on the pavement. We're going to try and hit some of that, too.
Everybody wants to have something because they need it, but hopefully a few of them will work out. We'll see.
Let me ask you, are you going to be able to take, you're going to take your dirt sprint car and to the pavement? What do you have to do to change it over? What's it going to cost you, and how much time?
Really, the dirt car is easy. You just change out a front end. You get stiffer spindles, you know, stronger stuff to hold the force, and stiffer torsion bars, and, you know.
So it would be easier pavement to tires. Take a dirt car to pavement than a pavement car to dirt.
It'd be about impossible to take a pavement car to dirt.
Right. You can't get off the ground hard enough. But
we won a TBRA race with our dirt car at DeSoto.
I interviewed him.
Oh, yeah, a couple of years ago now. It seemed a while ago now.
Seems like forever, doesn't it?
The dirt cars work great on the pavement.
And actually, that was a like 22-car field. I mean,
you didn't know
that.
There's
a big field
range,
The brakes are different, correct? Or they stopped changing them. They've got them.
They just add a brake to the right front.
Okay. I knew you had to do something with brakes, and that was a pain for some people, apparently. But it's pretty cool. I mean, you're going to get to do more open wheel and stuff and so forth? I mean.
The people I met that I'm driving the truck for, they had originally had an open wheel modified, and they seen how expensive it was, and the series has kind of died out with them, and they wanted to get into trucks, and we have a teammate, we got two trucks, and they really love DeSoto Speedway, so we run there weekly and help out John as much as we can, and we'll be doing that again this year, and we're going to try and hit New Smyrna beginning of the year for the World Series. They're going to have three nights of trucks over there. So.
And what happens, though, if you come up and run a few of the, you know, new sprint car races and stuff, and you start leading points or something? You're going to kind of hang in there and see what you can do?
Well, I've looked over all the schedules, and there's only, I think there's two or three races that interfere with each other. But I don't know if we're going to run for points again this year at DeSoto for the trucks. We did last year, and we finished second in the points, and my teammate won the championship. So I don't know if it's going to be a big deal if we miss a race or two.
I tell you what, Charlie drives the loosest truck I've ever seen in my life. That thing is sideways in every turn.
It's pretty amazing. We have the same exact setups, and maybe it's just him.
You were on a rail. I mean, your truck was on a rail.
At Orlando?
Yeah.
It's just a new track. We haven't raced there. We've never been there before, and I'm sure he was driving a little bit harder trying to catch me and using a lot more than I was.
Now you just let all those guys that race their own race go, that, beginner's luck.
Who was it that led early? Was it T.J. Duke? Was that
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I think his name was Austin.
Austin. I swore nobody was going to catch that guy.
No. Yeah. He was
checked
and
out.
It broke, apparently.
Yeah.
They said he got a flat tire.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So that thing was checked out. We should have remembered that, Bill. We did call the race.
Jack.
We're moving around, Jack.
Production room, you cannot raise your left hand. Don't do it.
Yeah, they said he had a left front go down, maybe, or right front tire go down. And he was pretty uncatchable. Yeah. In the beginning there, we could run with him a little bit, but once I started getting pressured, I couldn't pay attention and run a line. I had to protect my position.
What's the short-term future? 2009, we got an idea. 2010, 12, what do you want to do, man? What do you want to be?
Well, I just recently embarked on owning my own business. I bought a welding shop out, and that's going to take a lot of my time.
Put it in an advertisement. Where?
General Welding in Venice, Florida.
There you go.
But that's going to take a lot of my time, and we're going to try and race as much as we can because that's what we love to do.
So you come to the racetrack with specs and pieces in your skin. Okay, we understand.
Yeah.
But it's neat that you would do that. How old are you now?
22.
Been racing since he was 13. Got more experience than half the people.
Let me ask you, though, 200 laps. I mean, I know you broke at the halfway point, and the weather was okay for that, but was there anything special you had to do to prepare that
any
many
point
laps?
Did you go, oh, my God?
Actually, it was kind of funny. Like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months before the race, I was kind of thinking it might be physically draining, so I started running, and I don't know if that helped at all. I stopped running after the race. So I should be running some more. But
take steroids, man?
No.
No steroids?
You've been juicing, baby? Come on.
The helmet still fits okay and everything.
We had a 100-lap truck race at DeSoto in the middle of the year. We won that one, too.
That's almost the same distance. One's bigger than the other.
Yeah. Not much.
Yep.
But, I mean, you look refreshed when you come out of the truck.
Yeah, you got out of the truck. I was like, what is there?
You just did a 50-lapper and won it.
Well, the adrenaline's flowing pretty good after winning a race like that. And my teammate finishing second. It was
at what point in a race like that, even though you're in the lead and you're leading and you know people are trying to get to you, at what point do you start to kind of get excited as the laps wind down and it keeps getting fewer? You get the five
and you
to
start
go,
hearing all those
four,
noises.
At what point do you start getting excited for yourself and for the team and for everything?
Well, it was probably about 10 laps after I took the lead. I knew my teammate was behind me. I knew I wouldn't be pressured a lot, but it started getting real exciting. I started tensing up, and probably the slowest laps I ran were the last couple there at the end, but
yeah, you ran up on some lap traffic, and you had to watch those guys because you don't want to ruin the whole thing.
Two green-white checkers? Didn't we?
I think we had one green-white checker.
Right? But there was like five laps left, and we had a caution.
No one knew. No one knew how many laps were to go.
Right.
And so somebody crashed behind him. About fourth or fifth place crashed behind him as they came across the checker flag.
I got a neat picture, probably about lap 50. It was real close to not finishing the race at all. A truck had dove off into one, and his bumper was up under my left rear and had me jacked up sideways, but we came out of that, and he ended up losing out.
There you go. And we have to remember, the coolest thing, besides the fact that you won that race, is that Rick Bristol raised $14,000 for that little girl.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was awesome.
It's a cool deal. Every year
and
you get
she was a
cool.
Cute little girl, too. She was so sweet.
Yeah, it's a great cause. We appreciate you guys coming and doing what you did to bring your truck out for your first race at Orlando, thinking, you know, what could happen here.
Yeah.
You know, you could have wound up wadding it up, putting it on trailer about lap five and not been a very good night.
That's
all the folks that participated in that was an awesome job.
Yeah. Steven, you got some of the sponsors in your truck you want to?
Yeah, I really want to thank Roger and Chris Bryson. They own the truck. They put a lot of money and time into it. Complete Machine Shop, Brad Dove down in Englewood, and Clay Ziegler builds the motors in our truck. Kelly Enterprises, they help out tires.
What's the new welding shop you got on board? I hear there's a new one.
Well, it was on board already. It's a good friend of ours, General Welding. They were on board. They bought fuel every week, and that's about it for the sponsors on the truck.
Cool.
So.
All right, Stephen, thanks for joining us here. Ladies and gentlemen,
Stephen
Darbolix.
Your Charity Truckers winner and multiple winner.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here at Real Racing USA Live, and we'll be right back.
We'll be back.
And when we come back, Bonehead is in the house.
Finally.
Don't forget, stay tuned. The best of the best winners coming up.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Real Racing USA Live. And we are live at the home of the Winter Nationals. When you say Winter Nationals,
winter here right now.
People think
it
East Bay Raceway Park.
Feels like winter.
And we are live at the Hall of Fame Cafe at East Bay Raceway Park. Going to be here every Thursday, once a month at least, if not more, maybe along the way. Hopefully, we'll get one during the Winter Nationals and have some fun. But looking forward to more folks coming over and visiting with us. But we got some new folks coming in, and they keep coming through the door. Rob Elting, how you doing, buddy? Was it a cold, cool drive up?
Oh, man, it's freezing outside. This is going to be the coldest one, I think.
Yeah.
This year.
It's
going to
snow tonight.
Of course, Rob and CC are the co-hosts of Inside Florida Racing on Real Racing USA every Monday night, 7 to 9 p.m.
Every Monday night?
You guys,
available on iTunes.
You guys actually are sounding like you're really getting used to each other, too, on that thing, because you're starting to work off
each other. Considering that we're not near each other during
the
show.
Right. And CeCe, of course, as the fans all know, is the pleasant, intelligent woman race
fan. I'm
and
the
Rob,
fluff.
And Rob
she's the positive
the
influence. He's
troublemaker who picks on people like Rex Guy and John Sappercone and
Wayne Anderson.
All
Wayne
reality.
Anderson.
The whole reality of the whole thing. That's it.
Well, you
reality.
See,
beat the crap.
The reason why Rob and I are really comfortable together is the fact that we worked together at the radio station doing a show for a while.
Yeah.
Where we were working around each other. So we were already friends first before, you know, I was invited to come do Inside Florida Racing.
And it just worked out well because we needed a, you know, fans' point of view that
Absolutely.
Is there all the time. And she seems to be a well-spoken person, you know. So.
We needed a girl. We know that.
Yeah.
We really needed
I like being the girl among
Well, we always had Carol, though.
Yeah, you know, we always Carol, had Carol. Carol.
Carol's always, always our, what do you want to call her, the girl? She's good at being fired, but she's that theory.
Carol
girl.
Is the official super fan.
She hasn't
that
been fired as many
title.
Times. She's quit. Yeah. She's, I'm
no, we fired her.
It's,
she never
it's the pay, Carol. I know. It's the pay scale. It really sucks. I understand.
Actually, every time she quit, we talked her out of it.
Every time she came back, she had to drive somewhere with Jack. She came back. She didn't want to be around for a while.
I think that it's great that you guys have organized this show in Tampa and right around me. You know, that I'm not even here. And I'm here in Tampa.
There you go.
But, I think it's good that you guys are doing it, and I think it's going to really kind of bring this whole dirt thing together, you know, because, Rick, you know, that how you've gotten so deep into dirt, you know, and you weren't there, and now you're there.
Right.
And now this one's going to get dirty again. You know, he's been in and out of the dirt sometimes that he's pretty familiar with it, but for you guys to throw a show together and sit here in Tampa and do this, I think will be great, you know, and maybe we'll get some folks in here.
At one point, Jack and I know talked about this. I don't know if he did with Rick, but we said, if nobody comes, can we still do 2 hours between the three of us? And we went, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rob, you had a big weekend this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Awesome time. I think that's the first time I've actually got to see you race.
Not be on the microphone.
Not be on the microphone.
You were a fan.
Yeah, right.
I heard you did it really nice. You didn't hurt anybody or move them out of the way.
I'm going to go ahead.
One thing, you know, we watched all 75 laps, never spun once, but.
That's right.
Winger got some pictures of you spinning
That's
the
right.
track.
No, I did.
Yeah,
I did. I put new tires on the car and went out. And, you know, when you got people on the radio, they think they know when it's time to go, and I shouldn't have listened, but. It wasn't time to go, but it was strange racing out there. You know, it's been a while since I've raced on a cold night,
and
it was really cold. So the problems I was having, other people were having, but
looked like
not
you just
quite,
didn't have any bike coming out of the turn.
I had no brakes getting in.
Right.
You know, when it's cold like that, it's kind of opposite. Like normally, you want to get in easy and get off hard.
Right.
Well, you got to get in hard and get off easy there because it was so icy. Like driving on ice, really.
Yeah.
And I probably had the wrong gear in the car, you know. I didn't go and practice at all. I went there for on Saturday.
But you beat Wayne Anderson.
Well, Wayne stood on the ice.
Let's put it like this. I finished the race, and I didn't spin out. And so Wayne couldn't say anything about that. But I just wanted to say about the guys that were there. But what was weird, it was like running an old Florida Pro race or something because, you know, the Gerstners were there.
Right.
Old Herb was there, of course.
Yeah, it must have been in the pits earlier. It must have been like a family reunion.
It was, very much,
well,
you know.
Wayne there, Pletcher was there.
You know, something that I noticed that I think that Dickie was helping his grandson,
he was
helping Randy.
Randy, I
think that he was on the radio with him. And I will say this about Randy, is that Randy put it together some of the best laps that he's ever put together at a racetrack so far. So. If the king was there in his ears, that makes sense, because if anybody knows that racetrack, Dick Anderson knows
that
racetrack.
It.
Yeah,
he's
so,
done it.
You know.
Yeah.
It was nice to go back and race there, you know, and I like I said on our show, we had Daniel Webster on the show. Daniel's on fire right now.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Yeah,
you know, he's got a lot of experience for being such a young person, and his father's got lots of experience in setting a good car up, and I think we're going to see a lot of him.
Yeah, we're going to see a ton of Daniel.
And when
Webster.
Are we going to see you out on the track again?
I'll probably go back and race at DeSoto. I mean, at
Citrus.
Just a couple times, you know. on some of their 35 lap shows.
You gotta say Citrus. I mean, their moniker is the friendliest track in the South, and from what I've seen, they are
Very up to it.
I'm impressed by what the reports I'm hearing about their car counts. They're having
it's centrally located, and a lot of people.
Car count.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And they haven't been a track that's changed things over the years. Some tracks change things,
Mike,
you know. And
Mike was telling us up in the tower.
Yeah, consistency really does pay off.
And it does by keeping those same classes and keeping the car counts up.
I was talking to your producer for your Inside Florida Racing show today.
You talking to yourself?
And hello? From what I understand, you
can we get some new mics?
Yeah, right.
CeCe didn't have it crackle
once.
No,
that one's
on her.
Got that little thing in it. From,
just that's it. What she said.
This Monday night, you guys are talking strictly figure eight drivers. You got Calkins in the hole. You
it's
got
a night of crazy men.
It's all the crazy figure eight guys from, Indiana, Kentucky.
They're from all over.
Pennsylvania, New York.
All over pro figure eight drivers.
And Florida.
And
we're not talking about beat up jalopy cars. We're going to talking about modified type cars with wings on them that are coming to run figure eights.
Serious.
And they're going to be serious about it. It's going to be serious money up every night, and it's going to be like four nights in a row.
We're going to have Rodney Davis. Rodney Davis is going to be on with
keep him on the bar park.
Well, that's good, man.
And this is the big series happening up at Auburndale, February 12th through the 15th. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. This is going to be my first time to go to a truly professional figure eight race, and I'm looking forward to being there on the 14th.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to broadcast it live the Sunday
main
race
final event
to crown the champion for the World Figure Eight.
See how brave
Tour.
These guys are? These guys are so brave, they don't care. They're going to announce a race during the Daytona
500.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So
they
I did say, who's scheduling boo-boo with this?
I don't think anybody thought about that, really. Because, you know, NASCAR is going out of business.
Yeah, I keep hearing
that. That's what we
do. That's
you got to be sucking him right down.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. There will only be 55 cars trying to start that race.
54.
So what's – they really cut their nationwide series down, though? Their season down? Is that true?
They may have backed off a race or two that
I
didn't pay attention to.
I heard somebody.
Well, Sam Rodriguez didn't say
favor.
Anything about that.
No, we didn't really get into it. That was going to be my next question. What
about
was going to be?
Camarola.
What was going to be Eric's next? You know, what was going to happen for him this year? And
you know, I'll ask him that because I got to call him up.
I might want to run down there this weekend.
Bob Wing is going to be there. He's going to go to Dirt Devil and do some photography and some stuff at Dirt Devil Speedway. So
what day?
What day?
Saturday.
Yeah, Friday.
You got to hold it tight. I'm telling you.
I got it. It's on right now. It's all good.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. Don't forget, we got Best of the Best coming up with the winners from the Best of the Best contest, a couple other surprises, and we'll be real right back in Real Racing
USA Live.
Doesn't
his name sound like a ricochet? Bob Wing!
Welcome back to Real Racing USA Live.
We're back again.
And right now, I'm going to turn it over to Rob and CeCe. They have a couple special things they want to say. Rob, CeCe, take over.
Well, thanks, Rick.
We're going to talk about this. You guys get the little question.
Okay, we've had an exciting year inside Florida Racing.
Is that better?
Acknowledging a driver of the month every month, and we've had a lot of fun doing it. A lot of stress, too, because a lot of months there were times when there were many drivers who were just doing outstanding, winning race after race at multiple tracks, and sometimes making the decision of who our monthly driver of the month would be was really difficult. And but we, you know, had 12 drivers, and now tonight we get to reveal who the 2008 Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Year is. And that driver will be presented tonight with a gorgeous gold and diamond ring. It values like $4,000. So
did you bring the ring?
Actually, I have it right here in my pocket.
But she does.
I've been keeping it close to me because I don't want to give it up actually because it's absolutely gorgeous.
You know, some of the times, you know, like you were saying, sometimes, like each month when we looked at this thing, first of all, if you'll remember, we all argued, many of us argued about, we'd had these long, drawn-out arguments over how we would decide who would be the driver of the month because we really didn't have any, you know, rules laid down for how we were going to do it. And we all had these arguments, and we went on and on, and then some months, there were just some things that really stood out as being extremely special. One was, for me anyway, was when Jeff Firestein, I thought that was...
he won after the passing of his father, is when we got to do
what
the presentation
for him. What he did
to win it. Oh, he was winning, driving at DeSoto, winning there, coming down, driving at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and winning there. So that was a very touching moment for all of us when we got to present him.
When I sat on the wall at... USA International Speedway in the middle of the afternoon talking with David Rogers, who had raced at been racing at USA International Speedway since the year it opened, and won all kinds of things in this state. You know, he was a late model national champion, NASCAR national champion at one time, but he had never won there. And I didn't realize that. I was just doing an interview with him because of the track closing and all that, and as I was getting ready to walk away, I said, you know, I made a comment, and he pointed out he had never won at that track. And then that night, on the very last night that it was there, and he had an opportunity to win, he did. And it was probably one of the most popular wins ever at Lakeland. Everybody in them grandstands was happy to see that.
And it was my honor then to turn around and then present him with his award at the Governor's Cup at New Smyrna Speedway. That was just outstanding, and the crowd went wild that night.
And we can't forget Sean Smith getting his award right here.
That's right, at
East Bay. Right.
Actually, let's go through our first driver of the month, January 2008, was Jeff Choquette.
February was Shane Williams.
Of course, March, Rody mentioned Jeff Firestein.
April was Clint Foley.
And then in May, it was Travis and Charlie Statz.
In June was Johnny Collins.
July, a good friend of mine, Donnie Ollie Jr.
Yes, and in August, David Rogers, as we talked about, with the big win at Lakeland.
And then in September, a United Dirt Late Model driver, Roger Krause.
And in October was Sean Smith.
Another United Dirt Late Model driver. And November, Wayne Anderson.
Third Governor's Cup. That was a big win for him, and with a lot of other wins that he stacked up this year. And for the month of December, Steve... Darvalix.
And who is actually here tonight. And
that
was
tonight.
An outstanding win for him. And all these 12 drivers are in the running to be the 2008 Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Year and to win this absolutely gorgeous gold and diamond ring. And I know people have been really antsy and dying to know who the winner is. I don't know, Rob, should we keep the suspense going or
well, we
put
should,
them out of their misery?
We should
or what
give
do you think?
Pandora a good plug right here. Definitely thank you to Pandora Jewelers for providing the ring, and hopefully they'll do it again next year. We'd like to do it again next year.
Yeah, we definitely have negotiations going on with jewelers to work out a relationship with someone. Okay.
Oh, okay,
well, we've just
deal.
Been told it's a done deal,
done
and
deal.
We'll have
Jack's
an announcement coming
crazy.
Out.
He's got his hat on and everything. We're fixing to make an announcement.
So we'll be doing the same thing this year. So what we're going to want, once again, is encourage fans, drivers, car owners, track owners, promoters to please stay in touch with us. You know, nominate someone for a driver of the month and keep us in the know because it's really hard for us to be able to keep track of every race, every driver, every track, and that way that's why we really rely on the help of the race fans.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's your local racetrack. You know who's doing well there. You know who your favorite driver is, and we want to hear. Now, we don't want to hear just because it's your favorite driver, you know. Like me, I got people that I'm their favorite driver, but I'm not going to be the driver of the month.
I didn't get any emails.
We want... you know, give us stats. You know, we're, you know, let us know. You know, they're running it multiple tracks. The, you know, the race, yeah. How many races they've won in a row.
I did nominate you that time that Wayne Anderson yelled at you on the front yeah. stretch. Yeah.
Well, we really encourage everybody to stay in touch with us. You know, you can get hold of us through the forums. You can send us an email. I'm really easy to get a hold of. Just send me an email at cece@wikx.com.
And you can email me at robelting@aol.com for any kind of information that you want to send, whether it's about a driver, whether it's about something about the show.
If you want to acknowledge your favorite driver's birthday on Inside Florida Racing, email me. We'll get it on the air.
Yeah. And if you don't like something about the show, at least tell us. You know, that's the thing. Input during the show. I definitely want to thank people that do give us input, good or bad. We take it, and we apply it.
And when you email questions, too, when you know what our guests are and you have a question for them and you email us or post it on the forum, we love that also.
Yeah, sometimes we know ahead of time who our guests are.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Well, kids, are you ready?
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to do it.
Okay.
You got the ring? Oh,
I've,
no, the ring's
I've
gone.
I've got the ring.
The ring's gone.
Oh, I hate to depart with it.
Okay, the 2008 Inside Florida Racing, Real Racing USA, Pandora Jewelers, Driver of the Year.
And one of my favorite drivers, and, you know,
they're
I...
all your favorites.
Oh, no, but I have a special fondness.
Let's go, CeCe.
I have a special fondness for this driver because when I wanted to race at East Bay... He helped me make that dream possible by hooking me up with a fire suit and making sure I'd be safe out there.
So,
you know who it is. Congratulations, and please come up. Big round of applause for the Pandora Jewelers Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Year, Johnny Collins. Right,
the locomotive!
Yeah!
It's going to fit. That's why I count so much. Hey, don't make it fit.
All right, seeing how they quit talking on the air, ladies and gentlemen, they're giving the ring to Johnny. Johnny, have a seat, buddy. Have a seat, man. Honey, we're back.
Okay, we are back at the technical difficulties taken care of. And
wow.
We have him here, the winner, the big winner for 2008. And... Unfortunately, the ring just a little too small, but we'll get that all sized up for you, Johnny. Congratulations.
Man, I appreciate it. This is this means a lot to me. This is special. Thank y'all. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless.
CeCe, let him sit down. Let's
okay.
Yeah, let's talk to him a bit because there's a lot to be said for the driver of the year. That's not just a even though you know some people like to make light of it and there'll be lots of jokes, I'm sure, at times. It's pretty cool to come out on top of the 12 drivers that were chosen this year for Driver of the Month. They all held their own and did some really great things throughout the year, and especially during their month, so to speak. But to be the one that's chosen over the top of all of them has got to feel pretty good.
Well, you know, when you're racing against not only just the guys in the dirt, I mean, we had the Asphalt Series and other series. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that's good at what they do. And come out on top, I appreciate the fans' support and their votes, whoever voted. Maybe the suit helped a little bit. I don't know.
but I appreciate it.
No,
we actually worried about that for a while, so we talked about it a long time.
Well, I'll tell you what. There was this whole thing was not just us. There's other media people around the state that we always talk to and consult with and argue back and forth about all this kind of stuff. And every year it seems there's a driver or two or three that just have one of those years where the stars are shining right for them and everything's aligned properly. And you certainly had one of those years this year. And when it came time to decide on this award, there was no argument about it. Johnny Collins, you earned it, man. You made it go right. And not only that, having met your family, and I'm sure everybody here agrees, I mean, you're a hell of a good guy, and you deserve it all.
So what's coming up next this year? Coming up, what are you doing?
Well, you know, we'll run this little bit of speed weeks, and I think there's only one race between Race Series and the United that's gonna hit together. So we'll run all we can. You gonna put up? Yeah, you know, somebody put the money up. We'll go race.
When that race comes up, whichever one it is down the road, will you look at which point you're heading?
It's not going to happen because I'll tell you what, we've been in talking with Ken Kenny and Billy Osborne the last few days. The things are being done so that that conflict is not even going to be there. It's going to be fixed.
Well, so much for my question.
If it did come up, I mean, I wasn't racing for points this year. Surprise.
Surprise.
But, you know, we'll just go have some fun and go race, you know, whatever cool. comes about.
Johnny, let me ask you, though, the way the season started for you with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, did you ever think that this season would end up the way it did?
Well, you know, when we first started running with this series, there was a lot of tracks I've already been to and felt good about, and I said, well, it'll be a good deal.
Right.
After we come out of Ocala, busted a rear end and last, you know, didn't even get to start the feature, I said, boy, this is going to be rough. This is an uphill battle. I never would have thought we'd be able to come back so strong. Like you say, everything, the stars was lined up. It was a perfect year. I couldn't ask for anything better. We swapped teams halfway through. You know, it just everything that did happen, it still just worked out for the best.
Just happened for a reason.
Yeah, apparently it did.
So
yeah,
all them people saying you cheated with more left side weight, is that fair?
You know, everybody's always trying to get left side off and might want to start paying attention where you need to put some on.
There was more than one driver that we talked to during the year. There was a two or three guys that said they, like, who were behind you in the closing laps of a race. And the thing was, he didn't make any mistakes. I kept waiting for him to get offline and make
anyone up.
He didn't make any mistakes.
Well, what
so.
They do is they read what it says on the back of that wing. Don't play chicken with the train.
Did you go to the asphalt race that they had down
he
south?
He won it.
That's right.
They don't call it bonehead for nothing.
It was the quickest.
I remember now. 50 laps straight.
50 laps in about 32 minutes or something. It was like,
well, what did you think about that? We talked to you the night, the week before that race, didn't we?
The Monday before that race, did we talk to him?
Yeah.
And then you came and won, so you were one of those guys that got the good end of the curse.
Well, I mean, I don't mind driving asphalt anyway. We used to run Columbia County a lot when you know, Ray Miller series run, and I enjoyed it.
You won one of those races, didn't you, up there at Columbia?
Yeah, we won, I think, three of them with his deal. So, yeah. You know, I like asphalt racing as well. Just around my area, I grew up, and there's dirt racing. That's what we've done, so that's what
that's
I do.
That's a humble zone. But I won three of them.
Well, I mean,
not a big deal.
I don't know. I just
I
like
done
the
it my track.
At the big track at Columbia?
Yeah, the big track. Yeah.
Lake City,
yeah.
Well, I bet that's pretty cool in a dirt car.
It's wild because
it's fast.
It's real fast with the dirt cars. Yeah. It really is there.
That track was always one of the ones that I always said, you can drive in there harder than your brain tells you it's okay.
And that's where you mess up because that's one of them tracks where you always hear people say, slow down, go faster. Mm. You slow down just a little bit there, and, man, it'll shoot you out the other side. I mean, it's
kind of like Waycross.
Yeah.
All right, Smith told me, he said he stepped on the brakes and he went faster.
Yes.
How many friends and family think the ring's going to go right to his head? No. Nah, see, they say no. They know he's pretty grounded. They know he's pretty grounded. When did you have an inkling that you might be the one? Because Stephen was here, and I know Stephen may have felt like he might have been there, too. I hope we didn't upset anybody.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, they held out on me. My family held out on me. I really honestly didn't know until we was coming down here. Then I started putting some things together, and I was, okay, I'm starting to back it up. Somebody pulled in beside me, and I said, okay, here we go.
And they're really hitting a race going on here tonight, is there?
I knew. I was joking with my wife. I was like, okay, so we're testing. What am I testing, you know? I didn't bring a suit and a helmet, so what am I testing, your truck? We got a long ride home.
If you got here earlier, they actually had a sprint car out testing.
Oh, well.
That would have been kind of funny. You going to fit me in that?
Yeah, yeah. That would be a treat. A lot of butter.
Well, congratulations. You know, I definitely hope that you enjoy it being the driver of the year, and you're going to be a grand.
You don't want that nickname, Butterball.
Butterball. I think locomotive over.
Locomotive fits him just fine.
And the good thing is, you don't have to give that up to the driver of the year next year. You get to keep it forever.
Yeah, that
would be correct. That's good because he'd catch a hard time getting.
And Jack will get it fitted for you. Pandora Jewelers already said they'd fit it.
Fix it.
All right.
So they might have to add another half a ring there, but you know, it'll be all right.
So.
This has cost me $1,000 in gold. You know that, don't you?
That's probably one of the reasons I'm able to stay so smooth. You know, I got a lot more on the grip.
There you go. There you have it. Johnny Collins, a 2008 Pandora Jewelers Real Racing USA Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Year. And who knows? You could be
here
again
next year.
Another ring. Be like Mr. T before long. Yeah, or Liberace.
Starter kit, huh?
Excuse me. Liberace.
Give Jimmy Johnson a run for his money.
All right. Well, we're going to let these guys get back.
I don't think
to the
so. Stephen wants that ring next year.
You got anything?
that you want to say on this microphone?
No, I just want to say congratulations, and you know, we look forward to watching you all race in 2009, and look forward to doing our Drivers of the Month again, getting that started up soon, and be able to do this once again in 2010.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Pandora Jewelers 2008 Driver of the Year, the locomotive, Johnny Collins.
Congratulations, Johnny.
And really and truly, any of you racers out there that are listening or listen to this down the road, you could be there next year. I mean, just keep your head to the grindstone, work hard at it, and you'll get recognized.
I know I'm going to work hard at it.
There you go.
You better.
I'll nominate you, Rob. All right, we'll be back right coming up next. The best of the best. From Carnac.com, Real Racing Talk Radio.
We'll be back right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Real Racing USA Live as we go live in 2009. The Traveling Road Show traveled up the road. We are at East Bay Raceway Park in the Hall of Fame Cafe.
Two cups of coffee and it don't get no more live than this.
the crew nice enough to allow us to have a little space in the corner. Hopefully we'll get a chance to come in during the Winter Nationals, but we know they'll be busy. And then we will get here at least once a month or better on a Thursday night. Have a good round of folks coming in to visit with us. Hopefully the cafe will be fired back up by then, because apparently East Bay Raceway Park is making some changes in their cafeteria-style dinners and have moved on to some new folks running the show here, I think. But that hopefully will turn out to be a good deal, as the food will get even better, because it's been pretty good.
Absolutely.
Most of the time. I tell you what. Well, Rick, what can we say, man? We get into this Best of the Best award stuff, and we're opening a can of worms, and I know that a lot of folks are upset about this. Other folks are going, hey, I'm winning. But we just had some issues that we felt weren't fair, but yet, hey, if you won, you won. Either you figured out a way to buck the system, or you got so many family members throughout the nation that you just pumped
pretty
it up.
Much what this Best of the Best does, whenever you have any kind of internet voting, it's the person who knows how to use their computer the best. Not necessarily the most popular, not necessarily the best. It's the person who knows how to use their computer, or has
friends that know how to use computer.
I mean, I've seen other internet driver of the year things. 16 million votes. How ridiculous is that? 16 million votes.
I
that's
appreciate the effort, but there ain't that many people.
That's a dedicated Karnakian.
No, that's not Karnak.
No, Jack, we haven't had that many Karnak. People listen to Karnak since it started.
Let me tell you.
16 billion.
There's probably, between the driver of the year on this one, this is not ours, and a rookie of the year, there's probably, 30-some drivers. Now, let me tell you what the total vote count was on this. 30,481,000. Now, this is Florida drivers.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that
people live in the state of Florida.
There's no doubt there's some double voting going on.
Double?
But, no, it's fine that you do that, because that way you know there's somebody spending time on your website.
That's right. That is right.
Yeah, but it's only one person. Because, I figured it out. What you do is you hit vote once, and then you put a wait on the enter button, and it just continually votes. You just go to bed, turn the volume down, and it just keeps voting.
So he's the professional cheater. He's the one that taught everybody how to do it.
No, I just figured that one out on that poll.
But we got to congratulate some folks here in our little poll that we were taking for Real Racing USA. The best flagman. We had some great folks come in. I guess, let's see here. Third would have been Julian Mullis at East Bay. He got 16% of the vote. And then second would be Doug the Wild Child.
He got 318 total votes.
He got 21% of the vote. And Greg
and the
Roback
is Greg Roback from
Charlotte
County.
He gets the top vote, so congratulations to him. He's got a lot of folks that like
what does he get?
Business.
A new flag? New set of flags?
No, he gets bragging rights.
Or maybe a how-to video?
He gets his name announced on the radio show.
Yeah. And then as we move over to Rookie of the Year, we got...
Best Rookie Driver.
I guess we got the whole thing's about best of the best, so they kept saying best of everything. But we got a real close tie almost here, but it did come out.
It ain't even close.
Well, third was Max Bennett. He got 11% of the vote. But then 80% of the vote, 81% actually, was tied up between two drivers.
All right.
So that kind of says things are lopsided. But L.J. Grimm got 40% of the vote.
All right.
And Brent Tyler beat him out. He had better computer people.
Well, let me give you the total vote count between those two. 4,832 for the winner, 4,732 for L.J. Grimm.
Man, L.J., your friends laid down on you.
Laid down on you, man.
100 enters is all it needed.
Yeah.
What could I say? But anyway, we do appreciate everybody taking time to make a vote. We wish we could control it better, because we realize that there are ways to
circumvent
the system.
We're going to change it next year.
Yeah, we're going to change the whole
system. We just did this to prove a point this year.
Yeah. Let's see here. We got... looks like
what's this next category?
Most improved driver. Okay,
most improved driver.
Part one and part two.
Yeah, well, we're on part one. Those
okay,
like
this guy right here had the most dedicated, or he was the best.
How many votes?
8,847 for Jacob Bellamy.
Jacob Bellamy. You know Jacob.
A lot of friends.
And
you know Jacob, right? You know Jacob.
Yeah.
Next. Yeah. I did an internet search for him, couldn't find him.
I haven't found his name yet.
I don't know what he...
But I'm glad Jacob won.
Another guy like Rob Elting.
Second spot with 2,328.
Yep, 2,328. 8,000, I think that was the most of the whole thing, wasn't it?
That was the most cheated up one.
That was the most of all of them.
That was some evil left side weight. That's like 60%.
And then the next one...
Best promoter.
Oh, you're going to promoter? You ain't doing drivers yet?
Okay.
Best promoter. Go ahead. Best promoter.
Critter was in third with 250 votes from Citrus.
That's Don Creedy.
Critter. Everybody calls Critter.
I know, but there's people from around the world listening. They have no clue who that is. Citrus County
Speedway. I don't know who Don Critty is either.
Well,
buddy.
I understand that, but I tell them where they are.
Look at Bobby Deal.
Mike Peters was in second with 432, and the winner, Bobby Deal.
My goodness, up on top.
$350,000 Bobby Deal.
So there is a lot of computers in Charlotte County.
Well, Bobby wasn't seen for 4 days in August. I guess he was on the computer.
That's terrible.
I'm playing with Bobby.
Are you saying that he would do that?
No.
Best photographer, Michael Fettig.
Wait a minute. Now, this was a cool one because there is a way for us to look at it, and we have access and stuff to a map of the United States.
That's the password to the other one.
Yeah, if you've got the password, and we do.
We have the password.
So we got to see the states, and Michael Freitag, he got voted by Fettig. I'm sorry, Michael Fettig got voted by more states than anybody else in any category, got individual votes from other states. It was everything California right across, Nevada, New Mexico.
Nebraska?
Yeah, Nebraska. New Mexico, everything. He got them all over the place. But it was pretty wild, and so Michael won that one. So,
yeah.
Best touring series.
Best touring series, ladies and gentlemen. We have...
This was actually pretty close.
Without looking at it, I would have gone, hey, TBRA. Everybody loves TBRA. They always have. It's always been a great
series.
They
weren't even in the running.
I know. They weren't even close.
United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Was second.
Or the DeSoto Champ Carts.
The DeSoto Champ Carts were the winner. They had 1,591 votes.
That's because they got all the little young guys that understand
they had the
computers.
United Dirt Late Model.
Yeah, they got a lot of computers.
They got a lot of computer geeks right
now. So the announcers must have been really kind of screwed on this deal because none of those guys have computers.
Yeah, I haven't announced a race in a year and a half.
You're
going to
vote for yourself when you look at it?
No, I've already won. I've won.
No,
I know how to use a computer. I'm kidding. It was fun while it lasted.
Okay, best announcer?
That's what I want to see. Best announcer. And I see right Tony there. Monica is back in the announcing business.
It's right there. Well, they put him in because everybody deserted.
I heard he's still doing traffic, too, in
go-karts.
Here, I'll get myself
in.
No,
he's doing traffic in Tampa.
He still does traffic.
Still does that.
Yep, still does traffic.
What a job.
But in third place was BJ Cavan from Ocala.
Yes.
Second place was Mark Keeler, Jack's favorite announcer.
Rick, you didn't even get any votes.
Yeah,
you got like
he got 3%. I got 2%. I didn't even call a race.
You guys voted for yourselves.
No, I took a bunch of votes off of mine. The winner was Joe Lineberrier out of Georgia.
All right, Big Joe.
All right.
Joe Dirt.
And that might have been pretty legit because, I mean, he was telling people, hey, you get out there and vote.
Did you ever notice who played Joe Dirt in the movie? I mean, who played him in the movie Joe
David
Dirt?
Spade.
Yeah. Huh?
David Spade.
That's right. Yeah.
Driver
you
part
look
one and part
boy.
Two.
Next is Best Rider.
Oh, God.
I agree with this one. BJ Cavan. Now, BJ does write some stuff.
What about Jane? She writes well.
Jane writes real well, too.
Jane didn't get...
BJ's the winner.
BJ's the winner. Marty Little in second. I came in third.
Oh, that's right. Rick, he's a heck of a writer, too.
I came in third.
He'll write some short ones, though, buddy. Give him a chance.
Buddy,
he'll write like a paragraph.
Marty Little.
I was last. Yeah,
he's always tired when he's writing.
Oh, Phil, were you last?
I was last. Yeah, the Tampa Tribune. People in Tampa Tribune that buy the Tribune hate racing, apparently.
And finally,
Marty Little only got 2% of the
vote. Hey, I was not in the park here. Did anybody get DQ'd?
No, we didn't DQ'd.
Nah, we gave up on that.
Best concession.
We're
best
being honest about who's not what.
In the state of Florida. Drum roll, please.
Where?
Oh, Jack doesn't have any of our stuff ready.
The other night. Citrus had good food.
I'm telling you, Citrus, and they won.
Well, you know what? I just want to put a word in for
County Speedway won.
The concessions out at Clewiston, because I have been impressed when you go out there, and it's different vendors and their own little carts out there, and those guys put on some great food.
You can't mess up Hungry Howie.
I hear that.
That's it.
No, I mean, they've had some great chili and barbecue out there, you know.
All these results will be on Real Racing USA. The best flagman, Greg Robeck out of Charlotte.
Yay, Greg.
And what'd you do
best
with the
rookie
drivers?
Was Brent Tyler.
The driver's one of them.
Most improved driver, Jacob Bellamy. Best promoter, Bobby Deal.
The best driver.
Best photographer, Michael Fettig. Best Touring Series, DeSoto Champ Carts. Best Announcer, Joe Lineberrier. Best Rider, B.J. Cavan. And Best Concessions, Citrus.
And the Best Driver, Part 1 and
no,
Part 2.
No, they, you combine them.
Okay,
combine them. There's only one Best Driver.
It's still
but
Max
as you can see, as you can see, the total interest for this, Bill, everybody's not here. Nobody's heard us. I bet
no.
If we asked people, they wouldn't know
no,
one
who
single
did.
Winner.
They're all talking.
So next year, Jack.
Jack, come sit down.
Now that we've proved our point with this little internet boating,
well, I missed what you guys
shebang.
I missed what you guys were talking about. So I will.
Well, we went from 16 million votes to 8,000 votes.
We proved our point about the
voting is,
and we're
going to
tell the people now how we're going
to
do it.
Okay, because and I hope you explain. And here's the thing: any time that you have a fan voting thing on the internet, I don't care whether it's racing or anything else. There's no way that you can have it without where it's not cheating. You can't do it. And the harder you make it to for people not to cheat, all you're doing is rewarding people who are more technologically adept. I can go in and cheat any – I mean, I just what I do. I mean, best companies in the world hire the best hackers to go break into their system
you know
so they can
racing?
Be secure, you know, so – That's
no,
just the way
I
it works. It's a silly thing.
Board,
and, you know, it's a fun thing, and people make shouldn't make more out of it than what it is.
It was a lot of fun, and people had fun
yeah.
trying to make it.
But we are going to do what?
Well, one other thing we need to talk about, and I almost forgot, and that is we want to tell the folks that kind of got frustrated with it, that were in the running for something
yes.
early,
yes.
and said, oh, my God, look at the points. Just take me off the dang thing.
Right.
We appreciate their participation. We really
yes.
do. That somebody
yes.
nominated.
We appreciate everybody that participated, everybody that was in the running.
We have done this for years and years now. We started doing this originally. The first time was 1998.
I don't know what happened to all my fans that didn't vote for me.
Hey, buddy, I apparently don't yeah. have any.
Your stock's
my
down,
family,
Rick.
And I got a big family, and they don't vote for me.
Yeah, right.
But, Jack, how are we going to do it next year, buddy? Let's tell them.
Hey, look, there's Carol Lick. Carol Lick, sit down in that chair.
Well, we've all talked about it, and we've already formed a, you know, there's a lot of really good media people in Florida, and what we have done is we have formed the Florida Motorsports Media Association.
Thank you.
And there's already about 12 members that have already are in this thing. It's going to be
there
yes.
are three founding fathers,
and this is going to be writers. This is composed of media writers. It's composed of photographers,
stalkers.
That's a joke. That's Rick being funny. If anybody really wants to know that story, call Bill Green's cell phone. What number is 941-920-3370. If you want to know why we keep talking about the stalker, call Bill Green's phone number
right now. I also know a guy
that will
take really good pictures of your house.
Absolutely. 941-920-3370. And so anyway, this Florida, we all discussed it over the last several weeks. You think it's going to be a great idea, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Because, go ahead. Well, I was
going
to say, besides sort of
30 million
doing
votes.
These award things at the
Don't
end of the year, there's a lot of other things we'll be doing throughout the year.
That was me.
We kind of made a joke about it. Maybe since the promoters can't get together and get on the same page, we'll do it as the media and we'll show them how you do it.
Oh, I was wrong. That was 78 million votes.
Oh. Yeah.
78 million?
Oh, 78 million votes.
That's more than Obama got.
More than the people.
Go ahead.
Is that possible?
Go ahead.
Carol?
Yeah.
How are you?
I thought you said you gave me a note. I have a handwritten note in my pocket that says, do not put me on the air.
Use the black one. Carol, real quick. You got 2 minutes.
Carol loves talking to us. We enjoy talking to Carol. Carol knows a lot about what's happening.
Carol, you got any
from the fan
emails you'd like to talk about or anything?
He won't.
Emails?
Fan emails.
Emails.
Oh, Rick, you're going to be hurting here in a minute.
Say what?
I'm trying to. It's not working.
Which one is she on? Hold still. Don't turn your head.
Which one is it?
It's right here. She's fine. She sounds great.
Am I?
Yeah, you're fine.
I don't know
which
number it is.
Well, I know you're going to hate me for this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
What's that number say?
What?
Jesus.
Do it. Go. Just start talking. Don't stop.
I just think that I hope that the drivers appreciate all the things that you try to do in recognition of their racing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Ollie is really. It's a lot of hard work. I know Jack's up all night and all day trying to think of ways to. Jack appreciate the drivers.
All right, Jack, let's take a real quick break, and we'll be back.
Shut up, Rick.
USA Live.
Help. Somebody's making fun of me.
Yep.
Thank you, Carol. Welcome back to Real Racing USA Live. With us right now, sitting at the table, Larry Birkins. Larry, welcome to Real Racing USA Live, our first show back.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Now, I heard your interview on Dirt World with Joe and Billy. Tell everybody a little bit of what you drive and what you've been doing this year.
Well, we've got open wheel modified, doing most of the racing out of Volusia, but we've been to Ocala, Brunswick, Screvens, East Bay, out in Arkansas. We got a little group of us that travel around and have a good time.
Well, if you're living in St. Augustine, you're traveling to find a racetrack, number one. But there's some great racing in southern Georgia that's close enough to you and some things there. What's it like catching all those different tracks and getting to the different shows, getting to see people that, you know, you may see once or twice a year, I guess?
It's my first year in the sport, and what a wonderful sport to get involved with. Everybody, everywhere you go, is very friendly. From giving you a hand if something goes wrong, or just taking care of your family if you're out doing something on the track, it's a real enjoyable. Haven't been anywhere that we've had anything negative to say about any of the tracks. We've had a great year.
But you know, this past year was the first year that I've actually been with a traveling series. And, you know, we went with the United Dirt Late Mile Challenge Series, and we went to some of the tracks you talked about, plus up to East Alabama. And I'll tell you what, these tracks up there in the northern part of the state and in Georgia and stuff, the whole dirt world is a completely different thing than what I've been used to in the asphalt world.
It's really unique. Growing up, my dad's a big fan of NASCAR and traveling and watching all of that and the stereotype of the dirt racing and the fighting and all that. I've got three daughters, 19, 17, and 12, and my wife and we've had a wonderful time. We haven't had anything negative, not any incidents. We've tore up a bunch of parts and cars, and I'd like to take a second. And the fellow that just won the Driver of the Year, who's my coach and friend, we had a great year. He's kept us all between the walls, and it's just been enjoyable.
Now I got to ask you, when did you get into racing? I mean, is it literally your first year ever?
Yes, sir.
So you waited. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
42.
42. Finally got into racing and starting to enjoy it this much and bringing the family along. What did the family think when you sat them down and said, hey, listen, I think I'm really going to buy a car and go racing?
Well, they knew nothing about it. And I've got the prettiest, loudest pit crew that there is.
Nobody in the group said, are you crazy?
All of them.
Okay, just checking. So they're saying you are crazy and we're cool.
That's right.
Now, I did a little Google search on you, and you actually, for your first year, you've done fairly well.
I was real fortunate. Won about 10 heat races, led a bunch of races. The last race in December back at the Showdown on the Coast, was fortunate enough to be out in front when the flag went up and down, and it was great.
You created a monster. You realize that. Okay. Just so you know.
I think points-wise over at Volusia, I think I got the Rookie of the Year deal, I couldn't have hoped for anything better, really.
On the back of your car next year, you put, "When the train arrives, I'll get on board."
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's nice to hear folks still coming into the sport, even with the economy going to heck in a handbasket sometimes, and having such a good time, and the family coming along and enjoying it, because the dirt that your girls would get on them at the racetrack, you can wash that off. They go down to the mall, hang out with the friends. Sometimes they get in big trouble.
So I've been cool. In Orlando the last 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I got two of my daughters that are in this club volleyball. And this economy thing is a hoax. That's from the media. I've watched 5,000 volleyball people, 5,000 soccer tournament people, dance teams, baseball teams, cheerleading events. There was 20-plus thousand people in the wild world of sports. And no, at $9 a hamburger, nobody was complaining about anything.
And nobody was going hungry, right?
No. Yeah. If the sport will get behind and get some of this sponsorship recognized, like Johnny Collins, get behind these guys and throw some money at it. It's a wonderful. It's still a low cost sport. It's for all the different things that are out there, brings the families together. My mom and dad try not to miss a race. We've got friends that we hadn't seen in 20 years that are coming out there, and everywhere you go, it's just so positive. I'd like to thank you guys for what you do and keeping the fire going in everybody. And
it's just like all the drivers, a lot of the crews and stuff. We do this because we enjoy it more than we ever got paid
right.
for it. We just love being here and doing right. it and having fun.
We sucked behind the wheel.
Yeah. Actually, I literally did, but that's a whole other story.
I do my racing on I-75.
God, does he? He's passed me, and I've gone, thank God I'm not in there.
That's more dangerous than out there.
But you own a business?
I've been in the car business my whole life, and retail, and we've got a couple of different businesses, and I've been real fortunate to be able to enjoy getting into this at an age where my girls are all up to that. You know, I got, again, three daughters.
College,
got cars, you know. Colleges, computers, cell phones, cash, weddings, you know what I mean?
The race car's cheap, huh?
I'm broke anyways.
What I was going towards was then, have you started seeing that, you know, you're using your business on your cars and stuff, I'm sure. You know, is that helping? I mean, it's still, everybody still thinks that, you know, people tend to go with what's on the track in front of them. That's what a racing fan will go by.
I'd like to think that Johnny Collins was responsible for getting a lot of people to drive the race car he drives, which is, you know, in the late model series. And I would like to encourage all these people to get their name on these cars. There was a sponsorship up at Brunswick that directly was related to $100,000 worth of sales. There's more to the advertisement than you know. I know the big NASCAR thing, and the you know, at that level you got to slow down because it's millions and millions. But in this late model and modified, it's not a business breaking expense to get that type of exposure, and you're into the grassroots of the people. And they're going to see it there, and they're going to want to support it by.
Right.
It's amazing the networking you can do in a pit area.
That's right.
I mean, it's just amazing because it's always worked out well. Well, congratulations. I look forward to 2009. You're going to run, I guess, just as hard as you did last year.
We're going to have some fun. And last time you guys had me on the radio, I told you I was going to try to show up for this little deal, Volusia, the Speed Week. And we're going to try to make the show. And we might even have a surprise for that. We're going to go at it pretty hard.
We're going to be looking forward to that, Larry.
You win one of those, we'll bring you right back. Next
My car is liable to cross the finish line first.
There you go.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Watch out.
All right. I got a secret weapon getting ready to happen.
Watch out for them Canadians, eh?
That's right.
All right.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
You know, guys, before we get out of here, we do have one more guest in the place here at the East Bay Raceway Hall of Fame Cafe. We got one more guest we want to talk to.
young Johnny Collins, I guess, might be called the third. Is that right?
I don't know, but you said young Johnny Collins. He backed up three steps.
Carol, get to work. Get to work.
I'm not a talker.
I almost say Pop's Johnny. Word.
He's not ready to talk to us. Okay.
No, okay, never mind.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Carol, why don't you do this? I want you to go over there. Just don't take a microphone. Just find out what he thinks about his dad winning the Pandora Jewelers Driver of the Year award.
Should be somewhat semi-cool.
So,
I think.
Go ahead, buddy.
Well, you know, first show back, I thought it went very well.
We do a good show, and
then
I scared a little kids to death,
you
right?
Well, that's what you do.
Did we not do one just yesterday? It seems like it.
It seems like we just did one.
Well, I got to tell you, the first time that the three of us did a show together as a Real Racing USA Live, if you'll remember, we had a little excitement. This one was a little calmer than the first time we got together and did
No Vampire Biker Chicks.
Yeah, the first one.
No Vampire Biker Chicks. Yeah, remember? We had the
God, how weird was that?
We had
Demo Don.
We had the Godfather music playing and John Zappertone.
Oh, John and Bobby.
Yeah. And then Bobby called in.
Carol
Bobby
thought that was terrible.
Yes,
Carol, go back and listen to that show today. So.
Yes, Carol. Yeah, Carol, do you remember that? You were very mad at us for allowing that to go on, if you'll remember.
The John and Bobby show.
Carol doesn't think we do everything politically correct. You're not on.
We're going to be back
Carol,
here.
Pick up that microphone.
Here I am.
She's good. We are going to be back here on the 5th of February, if I'm not mistaken.
February 5th.
During the Lucas Late Model.
But that's going to be a 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
4
deal.
To 6, and then I believe we're coming back the end of February, too. I'm not
during
the 19th,
great late model.
What's coming up?
And in between your two guest shows, we're going to be doing the reunion at New Smyrna, the second annual
Modified
reunion.
All
the old farts from up north.
The old farts from up north. So.
And Carol.
And me.
Yeah, well.
The old parts modified
gathering. We're going to broadcast that live.
And besides that, we've got the live broadcast.
That's where they take roles.
Of the World Figure Eight Tour live.
Oh, yes.
February the 15th from Auburndale Speedway.
Whoa.
And I believe we got a race. Are we still doing the race at Volusia?
As of right now, we're also going to be over at Volusia with Joe Lineberrier.
February the 7th?
Yeah, I have to say, there is... That may not happen. There's some negotiations ongoing. Joe got back to me. He was really excited about it. He is very excited about it.
All
but he's got some negotiations to do so that we don't step on.
All of this just reminded me, we need to ask you out there, if you want to get involved with Real Racing USA, we need sponsors for all this travel we're fixing to do.
Right.
It can be fun to
cards, letters, and checks.
That's right. Please help us stay on track and stay on the air.
Because, you know, Jack, we only do this for the money.
That's right. That's the only reason we do this.
That's what they say, but I'm sure I ain't got paid in 3 years.
So, Bill, quickly, we got about 5 minutes here.
Yes.
So, tell us about Henry County Motorsports Park, what you're going to be doing down there, what you think about the whole deal. It's your show. 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, in reality, when I was called and asked about this, I thought, it's a drive, number one. It's a little ways from the house, 2 hours. But I tell you what, I've really warmed up to it once I sit down and talk to Ken Kinney about what his vision was, what his plan was, and what was going on. I can see why his, traveling dirt series has grown to the size it has. This man is so much positive thinking and really allowing people to do what they do best and make it look good on him, I guess. But it's really neat. So, yeah, he's asked me to be the announcer. And
Real quick, I got a question on the message board earlier. And somebody picked up on what I heard. Is that Don Nerone?
No, it wasn't
Don Nerone.
That was our good buddy Mike, I guess.
Well, go ahead.
Anyway, it's going to be fun. Go to Henry County and call the races. Now, of course, Henry County will not open unless it's ready to go correctly because that's just the way Ken does stuff. And right now he's working on one major hurdle, and that is the sewage system that was built in 1995 without anybody knowing it, I guess, and the county's finally figured that out and said you got to upgrade this thing so you can have that many people on the site. So once he does that, then everything kicks off and we really get going because he's going to remove the clay, bring in some new clay and things he wants to do to make it better. Lots of neat things happening. He's looking forward
to it. What's the website, Bill?
It's henrycountyracing.com.
There you go.
And he's looking for doing Friday night go-karts and Saturday night racing and a lot of things down the road when he can finally work into late models.
Sprint cars.
You name it, it's going to happen. It's a nice little facility, great little location. A lot of folks should start coming back out of Miami, hopefully, in the Palm Beach area.
Hialeah area.
And, you know, with the Lacoochee or whatever, whatever it is down there.
One of them rivers.
Yeah, and so forth. Because the Indian Gaming Casino is only 7.5-8 miles away, so it's going to be, you know, a nice place to go when you've lost a race. You can lose your money, too.
Well, you know, once again, I want to thank, you know, Todd and the Barnadors.
No doubt,
for
buddy.
Letting us
they're still out working on their new tower.
They're actually working
forth.
On the new tower. For all y'all that haven't been to East Bay, well, everybody that's been to East Bay, you're going to see a brand new East Bay Raceway Park. I mean, this place is seriously had a serious face.
They painted the chain link fence in front of the grandstand.
They painted the fence, and I think that's the first time I've seen that here in the 20-odd years I've been coming
here. No doubt in my mind. I'll tell you what, folks, we appreciate it. We hope you have fun listening in, and don't forget to tell your friends, family, and neighbors about us. Make sure they click on it and re-listen to it, and send us emails, send us letters, put it on the message board, the forum, fan forum, anything you want to talk about, you want us to come see, come do, anything. Just let us know. We'll talk about it. We may not talk about it long, and we may not, let go of it once we get a hold of it.
Winter Nationals start here at East Bay Raceway Park January the 28th with the ASCS 360 Sprints, the Florida Mini Sprints. So set your calendar. So, again, once again, that's eastbayracewaypark.com. Right here.
Four
nights of sprint cars. Then we got late models.
Six nights of late models.
Three nights of 410s.
Then Whoa. There's seven. Oh, that's a practice night.
Right, that's practice.
I'd be freaked out. I was going to say
three nights of open wheel modifieds, and then they end up the month with the four nights of the crate late models. Once again, I want to thank all the guests who have been here. Steven Darvalex, of course, our stalker, Carol Wicks, and, of course, your 2008 Pandora
Nobody
Driver
calls.
Of the Year, the locomotive Johnny Collins. From Real Racing USA for Jack Smith and Bill Green, we want to thank you all for listening tonight. Good night now.
Good night, everybody. Somebody remember to turn out the lights.